Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Our topic today is consciousness is contagious. And we often talk in these meetings, Sunday afternoon, about the seeds of greatness which are inside us. Those seeds are created by the super excellent Father of all living beings. We call Him Krishna. You can call Him Jehovah, Allah, Emmanuel. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Aham Bija Pradapita, I am the seed-giving Father of all living beings. So that all-beautiful, all-knowing, omniscient personality doesn't produce bad seeds. There's no such thing as a bad seed coming from God. The question arises, if that's true, then why are so many people not living up to their potential? A seed can be full of life, it can be full of potency, it can be healthy and strong. However, if it's not planted in good soil, it's not going to become what was created to be. The problem may not be with the seed, but it may be with the soil. Some years ago, a study was done in an agricultural school in Iowa. It reported that to produce 1,000 bushels of corn from 1 acre of land, you need 400,000 pounds of water, 6,800 pounds of oxygen, 5,200 pounds of carbon, 160 pounds of nitrogen, 125 pounds of potassium, 75 pounds of yellow sulfur, and other elements too numerous to list. So there's a lot that goes into the soil. In our Srimad Bhagavatam, a great devotee king named Chitraketu says, when seeds are sown in the ground, they sometimes grow into plants, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes the ground is not fertile, and the sowing of seeds is unproductive. If you plant your seed of greatness in a field which is full of rocks and thorns and weeds, it may grow a little bit, but it's not going to produce what it should. Same principle in life. You're full of gifts, talents, potential. But if you plant yourself in unhealthy soil, which is to say, if you hang around the wrong people, if you're in a limited environment, then you won't see growth like you should. It's not because there's something wrong with your seed. There's nothing wrong with you. You're made in the image of God. Problem was with the environment, with the soil, so to speak. The rocks, the weeds, and the thorns are choking the life out of your seed. This is a scene from the Ramayana. Ram and his wife Sita and brother Lakshman were living in exile in the forest through no fault of their own. And Ravan, the great demoniac king from the south, who already had many wives, heard about the beauty of Sita. In spite of his having had many wives, he still contrived to send a friend of his named Maricha to take the form of a golden deer and lure Ram away so that then he could kidnap Sita. Now Maricha, when he was asked by Ravan to transform himself into a deer and lure Ram away, he figured he didn't have long to live, and so he might as well be straight with Ravana, his master. And these are the very instructive words that Maricha said to Ravana before he executed Ravana's order. Being a slave to your senses, cruel and evil-minded, you have adopted this course of action. People with leaders who are not self-controlled cannot prosper any more than sheep protected by a jackal or good seeds in barren soil. A terrible and unforeseen calamity has arrived at Lanka, that was the city of Ravana, Lanka's door, O king, which will bring an end to the city as well as to you. Therefore, I simply pity you. I shall fulfill your order. It is better to be killed by God than to be executed by you. Take me as already killed at the very sight of Rama, and consider yourself dead with all of your followers the moment that you bear away Sita. Like a good seed in the presence of weeds, thorns, and rocks will not grow, so you, driven by lust, anger, and greed, will surely die along with all of your followers. That was certainly a prophetic utterance on the part of Maricha. What happened with Ravana? Well, he sowed the seed on grounds of weeds and thorns. He himself was extremely qualified, high-born, a great, courageous warrior, knew scripture, had many, many, many good qualities. But he threw those seeds on lust, anger, and greed. Rocks, weeds, and thorns. The thorns are compared to friends who tempt you to compromise. The rocks are bad habits that you don't want to get rid of badly enough. The weeds are offenses that you may commit to people of integrity. Ravana ruled over a race of demons. They were called Rakshasas. Now, these were people who did not have good intentions. There are different classifications of people. There are people who don't want to do wrong, but they're just weak-willed. And they do it because of a lack of willpower. That wasn't the case with the Rakshasas that Ravana ruled over. The Rakshasas, by definition, take pleasure from making others suffer. They live for others' suffering. So they're like thorns. Thorns just stick out there waiting to rip the flesh of anyone passing by. Ravan was also addicted to drink, intoxication, and sex. These habits are like rocks in the way of spiritual progress. And last but not least, Ravana, although he was ruling over a race of thorns, and although he himself had rocks in his life, it wasn't until he introduced the weeds that he was finished. Now, what are the weeds? The weeds are offending people of integrity. He stole the wife of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramachandra. No matter how potent your seed is, it's dependent upon having good soil. You have to be selective with what people and what desires to which you give your time, your energy, and your attention. Consciousness is contagious. You're going to reflect your environment. If your friends are prejudiced, guess what? You're going to end up being prejudiced. If your friends have limited thinking, then no goals and no motivation on their part, then that narrow-minded mentality will rub off on you. If you don't have any discipline in what thoughts and desires that you let in, then you'll spend your time envying what others have and comparing yourself to them instead of running your own race. Ravana had many beautiful wives, but he wasn't satisfied. He was envious of Ram, and he had to run off after another man's wife. But what did we learn from this? We should quit hanging around thorny people, people that bring out the worst in you, people that talk you out of your dreams, cause you to compromise. That negativity is contaminating your soil. Your destiny is too great to waste it with people who are not adding value to your life. Well, true, what if I hurt their feelings? Back at you. What if you miss your destiny? What if you choke out your seeds? What if they keep you from blossoming? After you put your seed in good soil, then you won't have a problem being contaminated by what you watch, what you think about, by who you're spending time with. If you don't evict the wrong people, the wrong TV shows, the wrong DVDs, the wrong food, then you're never going to move forward towards the right people, the right thoughts, the right feelings, the right desires. If you don't put out the no vacancy sign to the wrong things, then there will be no room for the right things. This is a diagram of the three modes of material nature: goodness on top, passion in the middle, and ignorance in the bottom. And every living being, according to the Bhagavad Gita, is caught up in one of these three particular modes. And what we need to do is to switch out of ignorance and passion and switch into goodness. To switch out of darkness, switch out of madness, switch out of laziness, and switch into light, switch into harmony, and switch into higher consciousness. We need to switch out of envy, competitiveness, and criticism into maturity, balance, and peacefulness. To sum it up, we need to starve the unwanted things and feed the good things. And we do that by chanting the names of God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. God is absolute, and therefore there's no difference between Him and His name. When you chant any bona fide name of God, you're associating with God. And associating with God, as we say, consciousness is contagious. So you assume God-like qualities in the association of the Lord through sound vibration. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada writes, Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the super soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of devotees who relish His messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. By regular hearing the scripture and rendering service unto pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed, and loving service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. At the time loving service is established in the heart, the modes of passion and ignorance and lust and desire disappear. Then the devotee is established in the higher mode of goodness and becomes happy. Consciousness is contagious. The very best thing that you can do for your future well-being is to seek out a saintly person. We call them a guru. Someone who has seen the truth, and associate with them by rendering service to them. It is said here, a bona fide spiritual master, by the grace of God, will plant the seed of devotional service. After getting the seed, if one sows it within the soil of a purified heart and pours water on it by hearing and chanting, the seed grows into a big plant. And there are fruits and flowers which the living entity can enjoy even in this material world. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our spiritual preceptor, who appeared 500 years ago, was approached by an aspirant devotee. And he said, what is the most important thing for me to do to become everything I was created to become? And he said, one thing, asat sange tyagi, give up the association of materialistic people. Why does Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say that that's the first duty, is to give up the association of people in the modes of passion and ignorance? Wouldn't it be more sensible to, first of all, be on the lookout for people in the mode of goodness, and then when you find the right people, then you can give up the wrong people? Here's the problem. The right people will never come into your life until you first take the step of faith of getting the wrong people out. If you give up anything for Krishna's sake or God's sake, He'll always give you something better in return. We pray, Asato Mad Sadgamaya. May you be blessed to give up that which is temporal. And that includes the association of people who are always talking and complaining and gossiping, and hearing the news and going on Facebook and calling their friends. May you be blessed to give up the association of that which is temporary and get the association of friends who challenge you, who inspire you, who lift you up and don't push you down. You may go through a season of being lonely, it's true, but Krishna will soon send the right friends to you, better friends, people who will push you up instead of pushing you down. There's also a Hebrew saying, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads him astray. And the Hebrew word for choose refers to a man who's searching out land. He's searching out soil. People that you spend time with are the soil in which you plant your seed. One of the keys to friendship is not only finding the right people to be your friend, but also rejecting the wrong people. How many people are in jail today because they chose the wrong friends? How many people have lost their families, their marriages, or their businesses because they associate with the wrong crowd? When you start hanging out with the wrong people, you're going to start listening to the wrong advice. You're going to start imitating the wrong example, and you're going to end up doing the wrong thing. I remember when I was in high school, I went to a boarding school in New Jersey, got a job working on a dude ranch not far from here in Buffalo, Wyoming. I worked one summer, and there was another young fellow from a very wealthy suburb, Greenwich, Connecticut, Mike Dobson. And there were just a few of us volunteers, so by necessity, kind of got to know each other. The next year, we agreed that we would first meet and go through the Grand Tetons before we went to our jobs in June in Buffalo, Wyoming. So we got a motel room and used it as our base for exploring the Grand Tetons. Finally, one morning, we checked out. I went ahead. After some time, he followed me, and he didn't have his backpack with me. So I said, "Where's your backpack?" He said the motel owner kept it as security. I said, "Why in the world would you do that?" He said, "Well, if you come back with me, I'll show you." Now, this is a well-educated guy from a multi-million-dollar home in Greenwich, Connecticut, went to a very expensive prep school, and I thought this would be good association. But what he'd done, and don't ask me why he did it, is that after I left the motel room, he stayed behind for 15 minutes, threw trash all over the floor, strewed toilet paper everywhere, left the water running. And he got caught. Someone walked in on him, got caught. So they kept his knapsack, so he would go get me. I had to come back, and we had to spend 2 hours cleaning up the motel room, and then still before he would get his knapsack back, they still wanted another $100. And I had to give him $50 because he didn't have enough money. That's my little story of getting into bad association and getting some of the flack from his ill-advised decisions. Point is that we shouldn't hold on to something that God has asked us to let go. Question is, are there weeds choking up your seed? That coworker always swearing, that relative always complaining, the TV show with the dysfunctional people, these are all weeds contaminating your soil. Yes, those people are made in the image of God. People can change, but until they do, you shouldn't let them pollute you. Don't spend time with negative, small-minded, jealous, critical, or bitter people. Pay attention to your environment. What are you taking in all day long? I heard a man, he drove to work every day for 20 years. Half an hour in and half an hour back, he had his radio tuned to this political radio station. By the time he got to work every day, he was wound up, wrought out, sour, grumpy. Nobody wanted to be around him. He didn't even like himself. One day he came across some faith-filled programming, maybe like our own KHQN 1480 radio. He started listening to those positive, uplifting messages instead. And gradually, he completely transformed, became a different person, positive, happy, friendly. Co-workers even started coming up to him and asking, "What happened to you? You know, I want some of that myself." We have enough things in life we have no control over. It's important to be selective over what we do have control over. Driving to work, put on something that inspires you. Going out for a walk or a jog, put your MP3 player and listen to a message that builds your faith. Keep your seed in good soil. The doubt and negativity of others can rub off on you. So you have to set some boundaries. Draw a line in the sand. I love you, but I'm not going to let you poison me. I have a destiny to fulfill. The people that you surround yourself with, they're very, very important. Don't hang around with can't do it people, not able to people. Avoid people that will throw water on your flame. Find people who will fan the flame of your talents and abilities. In the spring of 1837, a long, gawky, ugly, shapeless man walked into Joshua Speed's dry goods store in Springfield, Illinois, requesting supplies to build a bed for himself. Speed said the cost would be $17. That ended up being too pricey for the visitor. The 23-year-old Speed was nonetheless taken with this stranger. Quote, "He threw such charm around him and betrayed a perfect naturalness." The stranger was none other than 28-year-old Abraham Lincoln, a quarter century before he would take the oath as the 16th President of the United States. Speed spontaneously came up with an alternative plan. He said he had a large room upstairs above the store and a double bed he was happy to share. Without a word, Lincoln picked up saddlebags that contained his life possessions and walked upstairs. Speed heard a thump as the saddlebag hit the floor. Lincoln came back down and said with a big smile, "Well, Speed, I'm moved." So began what would become one of the most important friendships in American history. It was a friendship that proved life-saving for Lincoln. His friendship with Speed got him through two serious suicidal periods of depression that threatened his life and his future. One of the factors that bound Lincoln and Speed tightly together in friendship was a mutually held belief in the soul. Lincoln said, "It is peculiar to both of us that we yearn for a spiritual afterlife far exceeding all that earth could ever yield. We both share the view that God would not have created such a being as man with an ability to grasp the infinite to exist only for a day. No, man was made for immortality." Lincoln said that he would have never become the president that he was, or even have survived those suicidal bouts of depression were it not for his lifelong friendship with Jonathan Speed. We might not today be the United States of America had Lincoln not found that good soil of friendship with Jonathan Speed. The critics, naysayers are a dime a dozen. 80% of the people will tell you what you can't do. So our job then is to find the 20% of the people who tell us what we can do. If you're in a good place and you're going higher, it's not your own doing. It's because you had good soil, good parents, good coaches, good friends, people who believed in you and encouraged you. Even if you didn't have good soil growing up, you didn't have a father who was there for you, you didn't have opportunities that others had, the good news is that your seed never dies. They got seeds from the pyramids in Egypt that were literally thousands and thousands of years old, planted them in good soil, and they immediately sprouted, and they grew healthy and vibrant. Similarly, our seed never dies. It's always alive. All we have to do is get it into good soil. Search out saintly people. Associate with the Lord through chanting His holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's never too late. We can always fulfill our destiny. There were two Dakars, two criminals 500 years ago, contemporary with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were called Jagai and Madai. Lord Chaitanya went out of his way to free them from addiction, to free them from criminality, to free them from intoxication. Here Prabhupada said, that is a specific kindness of the saintly person. In this age, nobody can say that they're free from bad habits. It's impossible for anyone to say this. But Lord Chaitanya forcibly accepts all kinds of sinful persons on the condition that they promise not to indulge in addictive habits after being spiritually initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, the initiated disciples give up the intimate association of those people who indulge in illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat eating. The deliverance of Jagai and Madai, Prabhupada says, demonstrates the especially merciful nature of the Supreme Lord Himself, appearing to deliver the most fallen souls. And specifically, what's called the Sankirtan movement, the movement of chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is to give everybody an opportunity to participate and to rise up to the next level. We all need people in our lives who are further along than us, who have a bigger vision, who are more successful. In one sense, you need people who are out of your league. You have to be exposed to new levels before you can go to new levels. If you're the smartest one in your group is too small. If you're the most successful in your circle, you need to get a bigger circle. Don't be intimidated by people who are further along. Be inspired. Find some good mentors. Connect with dreamers. People who have a bigger vision. Glean from them. That's good soil. Here's one of my inspirations. His name is Satya Gopinath. He joined the Hare Krishna movement in Bangalore, India, in 1988 at the age of 19 years old. He got initiated from Jayapataka Swami. He served in Bangalore, Tirupati, and Hyderabad, ISKCON temples. Hadn't done anything particularly noteworthy. In 2003, he visited Rajamundry, which is on the east coast of India, medium-sized town. Once every 8 years, they have a huge mela, a huge gathering of pilgrims, hundreds of thousands. So even though Satya Gopinath had no local contacts in the area, he knew many wealthy merchandisers and businessmen in Bangalore. He called them up, and before you knew it, truckloads of ghee, cooking implements, grains and all, were on their way to Rajamundry. During that huge festival, he fed about 40,000 people a day, single-handedly. His single-handed efforts came to the attention of the Minister of Finance of that state. He said, I want to give you some land. He gave him a choice piece of land, downtown Rajamundry, right on the banks of the Godavari River. He said, there's only one condition. He said, the Hare Krishna movement has a reputation for taking a long time to build their temples. If you take more than 2 years to build this temple, I'm going to get flack from government ministers to take it back. So you have to build this temple within 2 years. He made a good impression, fed a lot of people, but he had no money. He had no place to stay. He had no real local contacts. He ended up building that temple within 18 months, including raising the funds, designing himself, and constructing his own. It's very similar to this temple, only it's bigger. While he was building People were so impressed with the efficiency and the speed with which he was building that temple that during that period of time, he got another piece of land donated at Anantapur, 4 hours away. He started construction there, commuted once a month, 4 hours. While that was going on, he got some more land donated in Pondicherry. Now he's temple president to Rajahmundry, Anantapur temples, and has two more active projects at Guntur and Dontumuro in Andhra Pradesh. We came here in Spanish Fork. We had no money, no connections, and this is the result. We're also building another temple in Salt Lake City. This is obviously a person I can resonate with, a person who inspires me. When I think of him, he makes me dream bigger. He makes me think, Krishna, you did it for him, you can do it for me. What is that? I'm putting my seed in good soil. I'm letting myself be inspired by people of accomplishment, by other dreamers. So our question is, does your vision increase around your friends or does it decrease? Do you leave your friends challenged, motivated, inspired, or are you discouraged, negative, drained? If you only invest in people that are at your same level, you're going to get stuck there. Find someone who's been there and gone beyond that to where you want to go and hitch your chariot to their horse. It is queried in our scripture, where do you find true spirituality? The answer is not in books, not in church, not in giving and charity, not in yoga, not in sacrifices. Consciousness is contagious. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. True spirituality is in the hearts of saintly people. You want to be spiritual, you need to find them. You need to associate with them. Apprentice yourself to them. Serve them so that you will then be infected by them, that you will catch, in a good sense, what they have. At one point in Jagannath Puri, which is another famous temple on the east coast of India, Sanatana Goswami had traveled many hundreds of miles to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He traveled through many jungles. He drank from fetid pools of water, ate roots and herbs. And when he arrived hundreds of miles later in Puri, he had running sores all over his body. He became ashamed. He didn't want to come before Lord Chaitanya because he knew Lord Chaitanya would want to hung him, and he didn't want to put the pus all over Lord Chaitanya's body. So he avoided Lord Chaitanya for some period of time. Finally, Lord Chaitanya hunted him down, appeared before him. Sanatana Goswami cowered, put his head down. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, big and strong, he's about 7 feet tall, picked him up and he hugged him with great enthusiasm. And not only did Lord Chaitanya's body not get infected by the oozing sores, but the sores disappeared from Sanatana Goswami's body. What happened there? Lord Chaitanya loved his devotees so much that he wouldn't let him stay infected. He wouldn't let him stay in misery. He wouldn't let him stay lonely and isolated. A contemporary similar story of friendship. In his first seasons with the Brooklyn Dodgers, Jackie Robinson, who was the first black man to play Major League Baseball, faced venom nearly everywhere he traveled. Pitchers threw fastballs at his head. He got spiked by runners around the bases. Brutal swear words from the opposing players and from the crowds came his way. During one game in Boston, the taunts and racial slurs reached a particular crescendo after he made an error in fielding a ball. As all this was happening, another Dodger, a southern white man named Pee Wee Reese, called timeout. He walked from his position at shortstop over to Robinson at second base, and he put his arm around Robinson's shoulder, stood with him there for what seemed like a long time. This is a statue which still is there. He was basically saying, "This man is my friend." That gesture spoke more eloquently than words. We need friends like that who won't let us stay addicted, who won't let us stay depressed, who won't let us stay bullied, who won't let us miss our destiny. We need friends who are always going to lift us up. That's why some of you come out here regularly on Sunday afternoon, because you know that by our words, we're going to do our best to lift you up. You may be down, but we're going to do our best not to let you stay down. We're going to say, get up. There are new beginnings. You've been hurt. Get up. You have bounce back power. You had a loss. Get up. Krishna is restoring what you lost. You're still single. get up. The right person is on the way. You're struggling in your finances. Get up. Krishna, God, is going to open the windows of heaven. Sometimes you can't go to the next level without somebody first pulling you up. If you're crippled and you surround yourself with other crippled people, there's no one to help you walk. You have to get around someone stronger, someone more successful, someone free, so then they can lift you. Lame people can't help lame people walk. Addicted people can't help addicted people be free. Blind people can't help you to see. Maybe you need to spend time with some other types of people. Krishna or God has your guru, your Prabhupada, your Jonathan Speed, your Pee Wee Reese all lined up. He's already ordained people to lift you up. Now don't sit around with dysfunctional people the rest of your life. You need to do your part now and sow your seed in good soil in order to grow. Get away from the people who tell you where you are is where you'll always be. Don't believe that lie. Your seed is still alive. When it hits the good soil, you're going to see things happen that you've never dreamed of. You're not going to stay addicted. Freedom is coming. You're not going to struggle in your health. Wholeness is coming. In good soil, you're going to see abundance, see overflow, joy and happiness. Now do your part. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Start pulling up the weeds. Get rid of those thorny friends. Pick up the rocks. Be selective in what you give your attention to. If you plant your seed in fertile soil, I believe you'll see increase, promotion, freedom, healing, wholeness, the fullness of your destiny. In this life and in the next life, you'll go back to home, back to Godhead.